All right. Now, if you will, please, we're going to talk a little bit more about the heart, and I'm going to give you a couple of things that I want you to understand. You're beginning to grab a hold of that your heart is the seat of your emotions. The heart is the seat of your will. The heart is the seat of where your conscience dwells. The heart is where God dwells. God doesn't dwell in your intellect. God dwells in the place where you have feelings. Listen, if you ate too much for lunch and you're sleepy, go ahead and nod off. I had a friend of mine this morning, he said, "Preacher, I'm so sorry. I did my best to stay awake." But he said, "You got about 3 words into your sermon." And he said, "I couldn't keep my eyes open." And then he realized what he said. He goes, "I didn't mean it that way." Well, okay, maybe you just felt like at peace and just felt like, you know, I felt comfortable and I felt like things slowed down for a minute and I was able to step out of the world. And maybe you needed a nap more than you needed a sermon. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me. But I'm saying sometimes you come out of a rat race out there and you step in here and you're here for the right reason. And the Lord said, "You need to take a nap." You ever wonder about that? Sometimes you sleep really sound in church. Do you ever think about it? Some of the best naps I ever had were in church. I mean, I remember, and I remember thinking it was just like the rapture, because I can remember falling asleep in church, listening to my daddy preach, and he was by no means a boring preacher. I listened to my daddy preach and wake up in my bed in the morning and not even remember how I got there. Boy, that's pretty good transportation. That'd be like the rapture. Yeah. You fall asleep, wake up in glory, and be like, "Well, that's a great trip, man." I would like to be awake for that, though. On the way up, you know, and this is the devil in me. I'll just tell you right up front. I want to fly by just a couple of people and say, "I told you so," you know. I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm just kind of, but they may be going up with me, and then they may be like, "I told you so." It's like, "Yeah, okay, I didn't expect to see you here. Glad you got saved." But here's the thing you have to recognize about your heart. If you don't realize that the devil would like nothing better than to corrupt it, to dirty it up, to make it filthy. But you say, why? Because out of it become the issues of life. That's why he says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Your heart has a discerning spirit and an ability to be able to discern something. Do you realize this, that the heart also tells you what your intentions are? You know that certain individuals, they wonder why they do certain things. The important thing is what are their intentions when they do it? What are you intending to do? What are you intending to say? What is your motive behind why you just did what you did? You're looking at a passage right there. You're in Hebrews chapter 4. You're in verse number 12. You should know it by memory by now, as many times as it's been quoted there. It says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of what?" The thoughts and intents of the what? You realize that when you pick up the Bible, the reason a lot of you don't read the Bible is because you don't want the Lord looking into what your intentions are. Why are you reading the Bible? Is it to try to escape judgment? Why are you reading the Bible? Is it to condemn somebody else? Why are you reading the Bible? Are your intentions for reading the Bible to find justification for sin? To find justification for doing what it is that you want to do? Are you reading the Bible because you're really looking for the will of God? Or are you trying to escape the will of God? I can't tell you what your intentions are. I can't read into your heart that way. But if the Bible's right, that Bible's a living book. And if that Bible's right, you know what it says? It says when you pick up that Bible, if your intentions are wrong, the Lord will reward you, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, according to those intentions. Now, I don't know if that shakes you or scares you or not, but I recommend that when you get ready to read the Bible, before you play Bible roulette or you do whatever you call Bible reading, I suggest that you get down before the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, you know me more than I know me, and I don't want to come at this thing with the wrong heart, the wrong intentions. Because I don't want to pick up the Bible and start reading it and have my intentions wrong. And Ezekiel tells me, I'll reward me according to the idols that are in my heart." You remember in Ezekiel chapter number 14 that the Lord's going through there and he said, "Should I be inquired of them at all? I will give the answer to those individuals." I'm paraphrasing here. "And I will reward every man according to the idols in his heart." Idols, plural. That means the Lord's looking at what you're thinking right now and then rewards you based on your idols, not according to what the book says. That's why a lot of people don't want to crack the book. That's why they would rather have another version of the book. You say, why? Because now they can say, well, a man changed that, and a man wrote that, and a man did this, and a man did that. But when you pick up a King James Bible, there's something in you that knows that's God's mind on paper, and that it's the only Bible that is recognized as reading you while you're reading it. Amen. That's a strange thing if you think about that. God tells you, I've given you a book, but I want you to understand that book's reading you. You say, no, I'm reading the Bible. No, that Bible's reading you. Amen. Do you ever pick up your Bible ever any time at all, and while you're reading it, the Lord convicts you of your intentions for why you're reading it in the first place, or why you're against somebody? Do you ever pause to think about when it comes to answered prayer, or when it comes to other things along those lines? Do you ever realize that the Lord may be rewarding you to show you your true intent was not to get the truth anyway? You ever wonder why the Lord sometimes gives you a lie as opposed to giving you a truth? Lets you believe your own lie? You say, why? Your intentions were to hurt somebody with the scripture you were trying to read. So the Lord lets you cut yourself while you're trying to cut somebody else. Well, you know what happens? You're intending to cut somebody else. You know what to do? It'll cut you to ribbons. Amen. And you may be stabbing them and blood may be going everywhere. And the next thing you know, your head slants down the handle and you're thinking, man, good night alive. And then it slides down there again. And good night. The Lord said, you know what you might want to do? You might want to put that thing. It's a two-edged sword. You may be cutting somebody else, but it'll cut you too. Now, I'm not getting on to you, not tonight. I'm not getting on to you at all. I'm simply saying when the Bible says that that book discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, you know what can happen? You can have the wrong intentions and the Lord will say, okay, you can go ahead and have that. If that's what you want to have, I'll give every man according to the desires of his heart. And he'll, with his permissive will, let you run right off in a ditch. Brother Russell called me in this morning and he's talking about a ditch, or last night late, and he said, preacher, I'm still stuck in Alabama and I'm trying to get back and all that kind of stuff. He said, if you know somebody with a good four-wheel drive to help me pull this ox out of the ditch, I sure would appreciate it. He said, but I'm telling you, I didn't run this ox in the ditch, but I haven't had anything. It has to do with us sometimes. You wind up in a ditch, it's not of your own accord, but sometimes you wind up in the ditch. You know why? Because you were trying to shove somebody else in the ditch.
Yes, sir.
And you know what happened? That thing circles right back around on you. The next thing you know, you find out, man, you're right down in the ditch with them. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what's going on the inside. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Is it making sense to you? Give you a different approach to the way you're thinking? It should. It should give you an idea of how I ought to be thinking about what's in my heart. My heart matters. 1 Peter chapter 4, look in verse 1. We'll use it as a cross reference. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same what? For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You know what he said? I got to have the mind of Christ. Well, there it is right there.
Yes. Amen.
It's this book. But I got to approach it with the right intentions. If my intentions are wrong, it's as simple as me saying, Lord, please forgive me. My intentions are wrong. I intended to do harm with this. And Lord, I don't want it to harm me. So help my heart. Fix me. Fix my intentions. I'm trying to find all the verses on prosperity. I'm trying to find all the verses on healing. I'm trying to find all the verses. You mean all the verses that are self-serving? Anybody can do that. You want to justify your sin? You want to justify your position? You know what you can do? You can find a verse for it. You've heard the old preacher say it hundreds of times. The tabernacle of robbers prospers. Well, there's my verse on it's okay to rob people. Come to Bethel and transgress. That means I can fornicate out in the parking lot. You say, why? The Bible says you can fornicate in the parking lot. It says come to Bethel and transgress. You better watch who's talking. You better watch who they're talking to. You might want to buy, you say, but if your intentions are, see, to use the Bible to justify it, you could use the Bible to justify it. Take your Bible now and look, if you will, please, over to the book of Acts. The Bible's not only a discerner of your thoughts and intents of your heart, it'll also tell you what's your purpose for things. Well, what is your purpose? You heard the preacher when he just got up here. You know what he said? The will of God's not some mystical, smoky, kind of a unknown kind of thing. No, it's I find the will of God on the road to duty. Do you do what God tells you to do now? Stop looking for some obscure thing, something that's way out there floating in the here by and by. Do what you know to do now. You say what? God's a rewarder of the people that just do the little things. The next thing you know, you find yourself right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. The will of God's not like a burning bush. It's not like meeting Moses up on the mountaintop up there and having your face glowing or shining. It's not like the Lord speaking to you behind the well, like with Gideon or something like that. The will of God is, does he tell me to read? Yep, give attention to reading. Okay, do that. Does he say study? Yep, study to show thyself approved. Good. Does he say pray? Yep, men ought always to pray. What does he tell me? Do what he told you to do. Don't be looking for something. Well, I do all that, but I'm looking for what is God's will for my life. The things that are written in that Bible are God's will for your life. Do those things instead of looking for call to a ministry or call to do this or call to do that. Everybody's calling's not a calling. And sometimes it's a timing thing. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not that you're not called to do it. He just doesn't ready for you to get out of the get in the game for 20 years. He didn't choose all of a sudden. Listen, the clock's not running where you got to hurry and jump into something. That's the devil. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Faster, faster, faster. Quicker, quicker, quicker. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. I can't wait to get in. I can't wait to get in. No. It's I do what I'm supposed to do and I'm waiting on the Lord's timing. Timing is every much as important as what it is God wants you to do. You can do the right thing, do it at the wrong time, and mess up everything. Timing's important. Let the Lord open up the door. Don't go kick the door down. I heard a preacher say one time, well, if the Lord don't open a door, go kick one down. Boy, that's a stupid thing to do. Don't kick the door down. You might find yourself getting killed. The Lord opens the door. He'll open the door. Nowhere in the Bible does he say, kick the door down. You're getting ahead of him. Don't get ahead of him. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Don't get in a hurry. We're in a marathon. You say, well, I just figured this and I figured that and all that kind of. Okay, I might drop dead tonight. You say, what are you planning? I'm planning on going to Chicago in the morning, but I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You say, what? Plane might crash. They may not have no pilots show up. I don't know. They can't find enough people to fly the plane. I don't know who's in there now. It used to be 1,500 hours. Now I think it's 750 or whatever the deal is. They've cut the time in half. They put a guy that's in the pilot. You know how many years it takes to train a commercial pilot? And now they're like, well, let's don't be so strange. Let's just get the plane in the air. Well, that's fine for you to say, unless you're the one sitting in the seat. I mean, the passenger seat. Don't be in it. Come on, the intercom. Does anyone in the plane know how to fly? I don't know how to fly a plane. Welcome to Japan Airlines. We are happy to have you on board today. And then all of a sudden, we are sorry to say, we are glad to have you on Japan Airlines, but engine has now stopped working. No worries. They come from Japan with sampan. No problem. We land shortly. Thank you. Welcome for flying Japan Airlines. Welcome. Thank you for flying Japan Airlines. We crash now. All that can swim on right-hand side of the plane and all that can't on left-hand side of the plane. Welcome to Japan Airlines. So sorry to tell you, hurricane comes and takes away sampan. Don't worry, they will come as soon as it is over with. But those of you on right side of plane, it is time now to swim. Those on left hand side of plane, it's been nice to have you fly Japan Airlines. You say, what do you come up with that? Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You better hope you can swim. I'm waiting for the intercom to come across. Welcome to Japan Airlines. By the way, shark infested waters. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The thing that you do is you make this thing of serving the Lord hard. Do what you know to do. Amen. And don't worry about all the other kind of stuff. The Lord will open up doors for you. The Lord will have places for you to go and people for you to see. Don't work so hard at it. Just be what God would have you to be for the moment in time. You don't that make things better for you? I think it would. Look in the book of Acts right here. Let me show you some things. When it comes to purpose. Look in 11:23. And the Bible says this, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the what? You know what he just said right there? Come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. You know what he just said? He said, I want their whole heart in it. He said, I want them with purpose of heart to cling to the Lord. You can try to cling on to the Lord and do it with your main strength and awkwardness. But if your heart ain't in it, it ain't going to last.
Can I use this morning's message to say, if your heart's not in repentance, it ain't going to last? Can I say this about your marriage? If your heart's not in it, it ain't going to last. If you want something to last, you know what you have to have? You got to have your whole heart in it. You got to say, I'm intending to stick with this. I've made up my mind now. Don't wait till a situation occurs to then make a decision. Decide now what you're going to do if the situation occurs. Let me ask you a question. This will be for a show of hands. How many of you know and have a plan on what you would do if the house catches on fire? Can I see your hands? The rest of you are idiots. I never even thought about it. The time to think about it ain't when the house catches on fire. How many of you have a plan that if a bad guy breaks in your house, you know what you're going to do? Easy, Manning, easy, easy. Manning's like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. easy there, AP, easy, easy. That's his nickname. But listen to me. You say, well, what? Don't wait until the... You say, why? Because if you don't have a plan, when the panic strikes, you know what you do? You melt down. You say, well, what do? I plan my way of escape. I plan on what I'm going to do. I know where I'm going to go. You say, what? Well, it at least gives me an opportunity that I have a better chance of overcoming the situation because I made a plan. Can I help you with your marriage? Don't wait until you're having an argument to figure out what it is you need to discuss so that during an argument it doesn't come up in the heat of battle and then you make her say something stupid. Go ahead and plan for it now. Thank you, Brother Larry. I appreciate it. Everybody else is like, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You have a better chance of getting out of a smoke-filled house, a smoke-filled room. And if you've never been in one, you should talk to these firemen around here. You should talk to Smith or talk to Grady and one of these other guys that are around here and go in that stuff and go through the training. I know they teach you to, stop, duck, tuck, and roll and all that and get out on the ground. You don't know what it's like and you walk into a house. That smoke is so thick you can't even see your hand in front of your face. I don't care if you got a mask on. You're breathing around, look like Darth Vader. You can't see anything. And so what do you have to do? You have to figure out what I'm going to do now before it happens to you. Make a plan for it. You plan on serving Jesus Christ till you die?
Yes, sir.
Well, at least a few of you are. The rest of you are like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll think you need to think about it now. Make a plan for it. Decide what you're going to do. What are you going to do if a bad guy gets in there? Think about what you're going to do. So I'm just going to scream and wet myself. Okay, well, at least you got a plan. Because that's exactly what you'll do. But if not, why don't you figure out a way around it? Figure out what you would do. Some of you ladies, you have to stay by your house. Boys, let me tell you, if you have to stay by your... If your wife has to stay, get her an alarm. You should listen to me. I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about now. You say, what? Give her peace of mind so when she puts her noggin on the pillow at night, that at least the alarm will go off if somebody tries to come in there while she's sleeping. You say, what? It's for her peace of mind. If the guy wants to come in bad enough, he'll come in anyway, but at least you give her a heads up.
Yes.
Or not. Whatever.
Well, I don't know. I'm putting out the money for an alarm.
Okay, stupid. Let's see, where am I at? I'm in 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, aren't you glad it's Sunday night? You say, what are you getting? You're getting preacher raw, that's what you're getting. Verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according to as he what? Purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, when you get over there and you take a look at hearts of individuals, you know what happened in Acts chapter number 5? You know where Ananias' sin was? It purposed in his heart. He had already made his mind up what he was going to do in his heart. And so guess what happened? He wound up doing what he had already planned on doing. You know what it has to do with when it comes to your giving? You're not going to give any more than you intend to give. That's just what it says. Let every man give as he purposed in his heart. You say, why? The Lord's looking on the heart. He ain't looking on the outward appearance. He's looking on the heart. He's not talking about whether you've got a wad of money thick enough to choke a horse. He doesn't care about that. He's saying, give as you purpose in your heart. Make your mind up in your heart what you're going to do. And give according to as you purpose. You say, what? That's how the Lord rewards you. It's not a monetary amount.
You say, how do you know? The woman over there, you know what the Bible said? She gave more than all those other people. There's stinking two little mites. That ain't an amount of money. A little old bit, it's less than 2 pennies, man. That's not worth anything. The Lord said, oh, no, man, that's the biggest offering of the day. You say, where does it matter? The Lord said, I can see your heart. I don't care how much you throw in the plate. I can see what your intents are. I can understand what you're purposing to do. All right, look in Romans chapter number 6. The will is there. Have you made up your mind on what you want to do? Well, you need to. We have people that are in school now. They're signing up for school now. We have ladies that are in school now, women that are in school. You say, well, I don't believe women ought to be in school. Well, what is that? Because you're not in school, you're getting on to a woman who has more gumption and more get up and go than you do? Well, school ain't the answer to everything. Yeah, it'll beat the fire out of you watching TV for 6 hours a night. Why would you care if she goes to school? Why you got to run her down? Miss Barbara gets up here and gives a testimony. I don't believe women ought to be talking in the church. Well, you're an idiot. What do you think singing is? It's talking with a musical note behind it. She wasn't preaching to you. She's giving a personal testimony. Her face is lit up like a Christmas tree at Christmas time. And she's just talking about it. I just want to say, I can't get enough of Jesus and how wonderful Jesus is. And then she's singing about, give me more of Jesus. And she's so animated. Oh, to God that you were like that when you get to be 52 or whatever she is. That was pastoral. That's under the blood there. But you see, you get hung up on these little stupid little things that some donkey tried to tell you about this formula. Can you tell me something? You want your wife to not ever say anything? To be non-emotional about anything? What are you, Hitler? Benedict Arnold? You mean she's not a person? You don't think she's got a relationship with the Lord? How many women did the Lord deal with compared to men? You better watch that, boys. You say, what? I can tell you what's the matter with you. This would be a little hard on some of you. I'll tell you why the women get up and testify. Because you men don't have the backbone to do it. That's why. So they get up every now and then, they get frustrated. Can I at least brag on Jesus, you know? Well, I guess I'm probably jealous. She's bragging on Jesus and she never brags on you. You ever give her anything to brag about? You ever take her from one coast to the other just for her 16th anniversary? No, I guess you wouldn't do that. I guess her being married to you don't mean squat to you, does it? I mean, she got the real prize, right? She should be celebrating that, you know, you married her, but you would never celebrate the fact that she's put up with you for 40 years. So you don't think. And now she gets up and she wants to brag on a man. What's the matter? Are you jealous of Jesus? Well, why don't you give her something to brag about? Well, I do stuff all the time. She don't never talk about me. You mean you're upset because she's talking about Jesus? You ever realize without Jesus in her, she would have kicked you to the curb a long time ago, boy. Amen. If Jesus hadn't been in her heart, buddy, I guarantee you, you know what you'd see on the bottom of your name? Divorced. I don't know why. I don't understand that. Are you that weak in leadership? Are you that weak as a man that's what it takes to make you the man to not recognize it for anything? My aching back, man, the fact that she's in the same room with you, she gets deserved the Congressional Medal of Honor in most cases. Amen. I'm throwing you a couple of compliments there, honey. I don't know how you put up with me. I know it's tough. She's sitting there going, amen, amen. That's good preaching. I hope the mirror's in front. All right, look at the will. Look in Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. She doesn't do that, but I know I can read her mind. Verse 17. But God be thanked, 6:17, that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from what? The form of doctrine, which did what? Well, how do I get deliverance from sin? I obey from the heart. I've obeyed. I've been yielded to Him. I've yielded my members to Him, right? You know what He said? I've been delivered from that. Why? Because I changed my mind. I believed it from the heart. Take your Bible along those same lines right there. Let me give you something else along those lines. Look, if you will, please, in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'm trying to pound this thing. I still got a few more of these that I want to go over. One more that I want to hit here tonight. And I got a few more of these things that I want to cover. You say, why? I want you to get that your heart is in your head. Do you know where your selfishness comes from? You know where your self-centeredness comes from? It comes from where Jesus lives. It comes from your heart. Since Jesus came into my head, since Jesus came into my head, no, into my heart. Why? Floods of joy o'er my soul, like to sea billows, since Jesus came into, you say what? That's where your joy resides. It's not intellectual. Intellectual is benign. Intellectual is clinical. Intellectual is, it's stagnant. It's sort of a, just, here it is, intellectual. It's just facts. There's no emotion in it at all. You say, where does the Lord live? He lives in your heart. That's where you have to believe Him from. Look, if you will, please, along the lines, Colossians chapter number 3, look in verse number 15. And the peace of God rule where? Where? In your hearts, to which also you are called a body, be ye thankful. Now let me give you something here. Come down, if you will, please, to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song with grace in your what? Hearts of the Lord. Now, let me just give you something here. You see where the peace of God dwells? Where does it dwell? You know what man's trying to do today with psychology? He's trying to address your intellect. Peace doesn't dwell in your intellect. You can't figure it out intellectually. Peace dwells in your heart. Third, through the Holy Spirit, love, joy comes from having a relationship with the Lord. He just said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You say, where do I get peace from? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. What do I have to do? I got to get Jesus in my heart. I realize people have clinical issues. I'm not saying if you do. I'm not telling you don't do what the doctor said. I'm not that stupid. You do whatever the doctor tells you to do and do the best you can. But a lot of doctors are trying to treat the intellectual side as if they're treating a broken bone. It's not the same thing. Emotions are not the same as your intellect. And peace is an emotion. It's not an intellectual fact. And it can only come from the Lord. So, well, there's a chemical imbalance. That's clinical. What about the peace? Maybe the peace that you have is because something's wrong in your heart. Maybe. That's just my thoughts on the thing. Let's look, if you will, please. I need to move this thing on here. Let me see if I can find the one I want. Come to the book of James real quick. I'm running out of time. I'll give you these when I get back. We talked about heaviness of heart. We talked about discouragement. We talked about how your heart can be have trouble with grief and being overburdened with certain things that occur. Do you realize those things are natural? Do you realize it's natural? It's natural to be hurt. It's unnatural not to be hurt. It's natural to cry when old Yeller gets killed by the mountain lion. Now, you can watch it a bunch of times and get to where you don't cry, but it's natural for you to feel sorry for the dog that's trying to do something to help the person out, and he gives his life. It's a vicarious atonement for the boy he's protected, and he dies in the mountain lion. But what you don't realize is the human being walks away. That should move you. That's what Jesus did for you. He took on the cat. Some of you just got there. You're like, why do you think it's such a Hollywood classic? He took on the cat. And what happened? He died so you could live. You say, who's old Yeller? He's hanging on a cross. He died and let the cat eat him up. And then guess what? Unlike old Yeller, he don't come out of the ground. The Lord comes out of the ground and said, I told you so. I can't wait to see the Lord in derision. I really can't. I can't wait to see the Lord have the last laugh. Amen. I know that just sounds something wrong about that. I can't wait to see the Lord tell every atheist and every agnostic and every person who has made fun of you people for years and years and years. I cannot wait for the Lord to get up there when they call on the Lord and the Lord laugh and have them in derision. And when He says, when they call, I will not answer them.
Amen.
I can't wait for that. You say, well, that's a little bit vindictive. I know. I'm working on it. I'm praying about it. You pray for me, okay? But I'm telling you, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see the Lord when He saddles up there in glory and comes stomping off of those streets of pure gold and steps off onto the stars, and He begins to come down through there like a lightning bolt with all of us coming down there behind Him, boy. I mean, I'm going to holler myself if I could. I'll holler myself hoarse, even though I have a glorified body. I'm going to holler myself hoarse as I come down through there, and I can't wait to see Him get what He has paid for over 2,000 years. I mean, I'm going to have a hootenanny. I'll probably just just put my arms out like this and say, go ahead and stick me. You can't kill me anyway. You say, preacher, you got a vivid imagination. Well, I mean, you're going to be fighting, but you can't get hurt. It's sort of a fixed battle. You already know who's going to win.
Amen.
That doesn't excite you.
Yes,
it does me. And then to be sitting there knowing I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
My goodness, man. If you don't think about that stuff every now and then, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go crazy. Because right now, you know what it looks like? Sure as I'm standing here, James 3. I hadn't given you that yet. Let me give you this. We'll go to the barn. James chapter number 3. That's Revelation and back up a couple books. You know what? If you don't think about that stuff, you know what you do? You feel like right now the devil's winning, don't you? Don't you feel that way sometimes? I do. You feel like the evil's closing in on you, don't you? Don't you feel like you're losing more than you're gaining? Doesn't it feel like every time you turn around, there's something else going on? You've got your nerves all in a twist because if it ain't monkeypox or COVID or bombing or whatever, that's what they call it now. That's a new deal. AIDS is on the uprise and people are dying and people this and people that. And now they're getting you jacked up about COVID again. But I say this to your shame. You don't have enough sense to know that cases are increasing epidemically. But they're not having anywhere close to the death rate that you had when the whole thing first broke out. All they're telling you is, it's increasing, it's increasing. Everybody's getting it. Yeah, but nobody's dying from it.
Right.
That's like you now find out about influenza. Do you see, you're like, that's just the flu. People die from the flu. But you don't even worry about it anymore. But now you see, because they're connecting it to the past, you're thinking if you got it, you're going to... No, you're not. No, you're not. If it's your time to go, you ain't going to stop it. Act as if you're in control of it. I'm sorry, that was a little announcement there. Pay attention. Don't get wrapped up in all that stuff. Don't get all... They're going to lock me down again. Okay, well, enjoy it while you're free. I like flying without a mask.
Amen.
It's a blessing. Really. But if they tell me I have to put it on again, okay. Make you happy, fine. Whatever. I keep doing what the Lord tells me to do until the Lord said, okay, you're out of here.
Amen.
No mask is going to keep me from going home if the Lord said it's time to go home. Do you wash your hands and all? Well, yeah, when I think about it, but... You say what? See where your mind is? Let the peace of God rule where? Well, He's got it, doesn't He? You remember the story I told you? I'm coming to this thing in James 3 in a minute. This is important for you to grab, and then I'll be done. I'll get the one in James 1, and then again the one in James chapter number 3. You remember the story I told you about us coming home one night from somewhere? We landed in Atlanta, and we're coming back, and we had all the bad storms and stuff. Remember that plane dropped a bajillion feet at one time and that kind of thing and scared everybody in there and sucked all the wind out of the inside of the cabin and all that kind of stuff. And everybody was screaming and hollering and all that kind of stuff. And that little boy that was sitting right there behind me, his daddy said, son, you know, you heard the captain. He's in the control. He's got everything. It's going to be okay. It's going to be. And he calmed him down and stuff. And so we go around and make a big circle and refuel, and we come back down there. And then all of a sudden we come back in, and we're coming back in on the north end up there at the airport. And that plane dropped again, man, I mean all over again. And the woman behind me, the little boy's mother, she screamed. I don't blame her. She was scared. I was scared too. I just happened to have my hand over my mouth when I was screaming. And I mean, people were screaming and stuff like that. And I'll never forget it. I wish I could paint. That little boy reached up there and grabbed his mama by the cheeks like this. And he said, "Mama, don't you know that the captain's got it?" And boy, with that right there, all of a sudden, that guy looked down just like you laid a baby in a crib, man. I mean, just landed that thing like a feather hitting the ground and that kind of a deal. Well, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't you know the captain's got it? Amen. He's got it. He knows what he's doing. He's not up there going, "What are we going to do now? Putin's on the loose. Can you believe that? And he's throwing all of this old military junk out there and all. He's going to run out before long, and somebody's going to push a button. And you know what we better do? We better send some UFOs down there to get over his missile silos and prevent them from flying." Some of you are actually worried about that. I'd rather go in a pink mist than in a hospital bed. Wish that for yourself. I do all the time. 4638, "Lord, let it land right here." What are you going to do? Go stand out in your yard and shoot at it or something? You're not going to stop it. What a dumb thing to worry about. If they do, thank the Lord I'm going to heaven. I don't want to be like out in the blast radius where you get fried and all your skin's coming off of you. And you're laying in a gutter and there's nothing but your eyeballs moving and you're burning. No, not me. No. Paint a stinking bullseye on me. I'll be like out there in the right field, you know. You see, you have a death wish. No, I don't worry about that. It doesn't cross my mind. It's coming to an end sooner or later. All right, James chapter number 3. Look, if you will, please. Oh, let's see. Let's just go with this one right here. We'll go to James chapter number 3. Notice this in verse number 14. "But if you have bitter envy and strife," where? "In your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Now, don't rightly divide this right out of your Bible. Now, pay attention to where does the bitter envy and strife come from? Where does it come from? Your heart. Watch. "This wisdom, bitter envy and strife that's in your heart, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You know what he just said to you? Somebody grab me Proverbs 21. Brother Brad, Proverbs 21. Can you grab that for me? I'll get you to read it, and then we're going to go to the barn. "For where envy and strife," verse 16, "is, there's confusion in every evil work, but with wisdom that's from above is first pure," look at that, "then what?
Peaceable."
Peaceable, that's what we're talking about. "Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." You know what he just said right there? He just said envy and strife is from the wrong source. That means that there's one source that produces what you find there in verse number 17 and in verse number 18. And then one source provides for you verse number 14 and verse number 16. Now you have to make the choice as to what you want. Brother Brad, you got Proverbs 21, verse number 23?
23.
Yes, sir, please, real loud.
"Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles."
All right. So you know what he says? Envy and strife, guess where it comes from? Heart. If you have that in there, that heart wasn't given to you. That didn't come from God. Earthly, sensual, devilish. No, it can't be. No, I'm reading you the Bible. You say, what's the problem? It's heart trouble. You say, what happens? If you keep your mouth shut, you won't find yourself in trouble. Even if your heart is messed up, if you keep your mouth shut and get your heart right before you open your mouth, you won't have the problems you're having. Some of you get in the problems you're getting into because you can't shut your mouth because you hadn't got your heart right. And so before you get your heart right, you put your mouth in gear. And guess what happens? Your mouth overloads your posterior. And then you wind up in a bad situation and you're wondering, how did I get here? Because your heart was messed up. And because your heart was messed up, you couldn't control your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart. Can I say this without changing the King James? Out of the overflow of the heart, what happens? Your mouth starts running. My mama used to call it diarrhea of the mouth. That's a good statement. Diarrhea of the mouth. You say, why? You can't stop it running. Just runs all the time, just continually. And the next thing you know, what happens? You run it long enough and all of a sudden the heart begins to come up, and then the next thing you know, here comes that earthly and sensual and devilish stuff. And then the next thing you know, there's division, and now we got a problem. But the other kind of stuff, he says, it's first pure and then peaceable. Well, I don't know about you, but I like having a peaceable heart. I don't like having my heart all tore up and upset. So we'll leave it off there, and these boys will take care of you on Wednesday, and then I'll be back for Sunday, and you come, and I've probably got at least two more of the messages on the lines as far as the heart's concerned, and maybe it'll give you a different perspective that the heart's not here. The heart's here. And if you can get that figured out, you'd be surprised how much easier it is for you to be able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stand together and be dismissed. Brother Ernie, good to see you, and I appreciate you and Miss Brenda being here. You dismiss us in prayer, would you please?